Right. Good evening, everybody. It's good to actually be in the building. It's even better to be in the building and have other people here as well, because I've been in a couple of times when it's just been me and Joan. This evening, my word is entitled, The God Who Keeps His Word. And I want to just read a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 46. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's son took their father Jacob and their children and all their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons, his daughters and granddaughters, in fact, all of his offspring. Over the last 4 months or so, we've experienced events that we could never imagine. Virtually the entire world has suffered from a pandemic of Corona-19 virus that has crippled our whole lives and our whole lifestyle. Socially, economically and personally, we've suffered great disruption. The churches and the other places of worship have been closed, and we've struggled to maintain fellowship with our Christian friends. And during this time, it would be understandable if we were tempted to wonder, where is God in all this? Well, tonight I want us to look at a godly family that suffered over 20 years of guilt and despair as they came to terms with the absence of their brother. The disappearance of this young man created a vacuum in the family from which they never really recovered. This was the family of Jacob, and possibly the most famous of his children was Joseph. Now, most of us are familiar with the story of Joseph and his coat of many colours, and of how, after many years and much trouble, he eventually rose to be the second most important person in Egypt. There's been many sermons preached on this wonderful account of how God used this man to establish his people as a nation. In fact, it's even been made into a very successful musical called Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But this evening, instead of concentrating on Joseph, I want to look at his 11 brothers. We can't call them unsung heroes, but we can see them as trophies of God's grace, as examples of what God can do even with those who have greatly sinned. These brothers had done a terrible and wicked thing when they plotted against their brother Joseph and had then sold him to some passing traders. Not only that, but they'd allowed their father Jacob to believe that his favourite son had been killed by wild animals. But they were so sure that Joseph deserved everything that was coming to him, and it really wasn't fair that their father had singled him out and made him his favourite. And not only that, Joseph had had these dreams where they all would bow down to him. They felt that they had every right to feel hurt and rejected by their father and by God. And in their anger and disappointment, they got carried away and sold Joseph into slavery. They then lost track of him, and they were certain that they'd never see him again. But despite the fact that the brothers were so sure that the spoilt and arrogant Joseph deserved all he got, they still had that knowledge gnawing away inside them that what they'd done was wrong. By their actions, they sinned against their brother, against their father, and against God. Although they tried to hide it and forget it, for 22 years the brothers lived with the guilt of what they'd done. But then they were found out. A great famine came upon all the lands of the Middle East. It was the worst and most widespread famine in living history. Its effect was widespread and exceedingly severe. It caused so much suffering to all of the countries. It was even worse than the pandemic we're experiencing at the moment. But as we know, Joseph had been forewarned by God. And when he shared this warning with Pharaoh, Joseph was made the second most powerful man in Egypt with the task of preparing the nation for the coming famine. He had a great number of barns built in Egypt, where vast quantities of grain were stored. When the famine did come, Egypt had much more grain than they could ever need, and they sold it to anyone who had need from anywhere else in the world. Canaan, where Jacob and his family lived, suffered just as much as their neighbours, and they must have felt forgotten by God. Eventually, the famine in Canaan became so bad that Jacob had to send his sons to Egypt to buy grain. When they arrived in Egypt, they came face to face with their brother Joseph, the one they so cruelly treated all those years ago. All of their guilt and shame rose within them as they confronted their worst nightmare. In our treatment of the story of Joseph, it's so easy to miss a really important aspect of the story, the attitude of the brothers when they finally met Joseph. We said earlier that we can call these brothers trophies of grace, and that is because they swallowed their pride and came to live under the shadow of their brother Joseph in Egypt. Of course, they could easily have chosen to rebel and remain in Canaan. After they got back and announced their father that Joseph was alive and had invited the whole family to live in Egypt, all of that pent-up resentment could have risen again, and they could have said, "But we're not going. We're not going to live under that man." But they didn't want to split the family. In our reading, we see that they took with them their livestock and their possessions they'd acquired in Canaan, and Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons, his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. They didn't rebel against Jacob, even though they knew that Jacob still felt the same way about Joseph, his favorite son, as he'd always done. Neither did they divide, with some staying and others going. They all went to Egypt, the whole family. Why did they go? Because they believed what Joseph had told them. He said, "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph had made it very clear that he'd forgiven them totally. He gave them a way of saving face by saying, "You didn't do it. God was behind it all." But although Joseph forgave them, they had to do something themselves. They had to accept his forgiveness. The brothers accepted that they'd been forgiven by the one that they tried to harm, and that meant they had to swallow their pride. They also showed that they had changed and that their lives and their attitudes were different. Instead of being resentful of Joseph's success, they were willing to go and live under his authority and protection. But this change in the brothers also showed that they accepted that God had forgiven them. For what they had previously done, they had sinned against God most of all. Not only was the relationship between them and Joseph restored, but so was their relationship with God. Because of their changed hearts, the brothers and the whole family pack up everything and leave Canaan and go to Egypt. And in this whole episode, we have a picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ feels about his brothers. Hebrews 2 verse 11 says, "Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers." Joseph showed he was not ashamed of his brothers, and they believed that he'd forgiven them. He went out in his chariot to meet the party coming for Canaan. Oh yes, he was going to meet his beloved father Jacob, but he was also going to meet his brothers. And he made sure that all Egypt knew that he was heading for Goshen to meet his family. He openly demonstrated that he was not ashamed to welcome his father and his brothers into Egypt. He was not ashamed to show his feelings, and he wept before all his family. Genesis 46:29 tells us, "Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time." And that's what Jesus is like. He doesn't hide his feelings. When he came to the tomb of Lazarus, he wept. Looking over Jerusalem, he wept for his beloved city and his temple and his people. Even now, he's at the right hand of God and he's showing his feelings. He doesn't scold us or lecture us. He's touched by our weakness and he shows his feelings. But then Joseph also showed he was not ashamed of his brothers because he promised to intercede for them before Pharaoh, before the absolute ruler of Egypt, before the most powerful man in the whole of the Middle East. Genesis 46, verses 31 and 32 said, "Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, 'I will go up and speak to Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household, who were living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own.'" It's interesting that Joseph never tried to hide from the Egyptians that his family was shepherds. To the Egyptians, shepherds were an abomination. It was the worst thing that he could be. But Joseph showed he wasn't ashamed of his family, who had presented them to Pharaoh himself. And Jesus will present us to the Father. He will even tell us what to say to the Father. But we must admit to what is abhorrent to God's very nature. For just as shepherds were abhorrent to the Egyptians, so sin is abhorrent to God the Father. The only way that we can be saved is to admit our sin. Come clean. See what God does. Jesus will present you to the Father, not only now, but in the end. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 24, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." And that's a promise that you and I will be presented faultless to the Father someday before the presence of his glory. That means that you're going to heaven when you die. One day we're going to be there. We'll not have any sin. We'll not have any tired bodies. We'll not be disappointed and hurt anymore. We're going to heaven if we've come to the Father and admitted what we are. From the example of Joseph, we can see how God keeps his word. First, he does this by not throwing up your past. We all have things of which we're ashamed. Times when we did things we shouldn't have, or we didn't do things that we should have. But when Jesus died upon the cross, he took your sin and his promises that he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Hebrews 7, verse 25. We have that wonderful promise, a promise that is God's promise, that he'll never throw up your past. He'll wash your sins away by the blood of his Son. As Psalms 103 tells us, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us." Pharaoh never knew about the awful past of the brothers because the love of Joseph buried their past and kept it from him. The second way that Joseph demonstrated how God kept his promise is the way that he continued to care for his brothers after their arrival in Egypt. Listen to what Pharaoh said in Genesis 47, verse 6. "The land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen." Now, Goshen was a fertile section of Egypt, a much favored place, excellent for grazing and certain types of agriculture. So as a result of Joseph's care, they would have the very best. They would live in the midst of plenty while the world around was in famine. They also had the ear of the king. They could go to Pharaoh any time they wanted because they could do it through Joseph, their brother. We too have this promise as God's children. We can go to God any time we want because we can do it through Jesus, our brother. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's a tremendous and glorious promise. And in view of that promise, as we serve the same God that Joseph served, we can have the assurance that God is faithful and our present trials will pass and God will sustain us through it. All because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not ashamed to call us his brothers. all because he is constantly before the Father in heaven, pleading for us. All because he died that we might be forgiven. He has gone before us, as he told us that he would in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Just as God had sent Joseph to Egypt, where he could gain the ear of Pharaoh and be in a position to speak for his family, so God has provided Jesus to speak for us to God. We just need to be sure that we are in the family of Jesus. Then Jesus will know us as his brothers and his sisters, and we'll be able to go to that place that he's already prepared for us. That place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. We have this wonderful assurance because we serve a God who keeps his promises. I think it's all summed up in a wonderful, lovely modern hymn that says, before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Amen.